Good morning, church family. It's good to be together this morning once again. To those of you that are joining us online, welcome to all of you as well. Will you help me welcome those that are down in the chapel this morning? Come on, we can all do that in here. Welcome to all of you that are in the chapel, those of you that are joining us online, and all of us here together in the sanctuary. We're looking forward to what God has in store for us today as we continue our series on the 11th hour. This morning, we're going to be talking about America's role in prophecy. Just what is the role? What is God's plan for America in these last days? Psalm 33 in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. The Bible says that there's a blessing that is coming to those that are a nation that is God's people, God's choice, those that are God's inheritance. And so we believe that God has a great plan for these United States. There's a question that was asked by Peter Marshall and David Manuel in their book, The Light and the Glory. They're co-authors of a book that has literally shaped a lot of the world's thought about these last days and about the Americas. And he asked several questions, three of which we'll ask here. Was Columbus's discovery of the Americas merely an accident? Was it just merely just bumping into the West Indies back in 1492? Did God have a special plan for the United States of America within the Americas? And did God have a plan for those that he would bring to America? President Ronald Reagan, he believed that God did have a plan for our nation. He said, I have always believed that this anointed land was set apart in an uncommon way, that a divine plan placed this great continent here between the oceans to be found by people from every corner of the earth who had a special love for faith and freedom. The sovereign hand of the Almighty God in the founding of the United States of America and the Americas is an undeniable fact. God's role in America is clearly seen in its discoverer. In the rotunda of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., there's a great painting there that's entitled The Landing of Columbus, depicting his arrival on the shores of the Americas back in 1492. Which includes all the way to the north, the zenith point, which is the Arctic in Canada, all the way to the tip of South America, which would be Cape Horn, the Chilean island. And so all of this geographic land called the Americas, what was God's plan for the Americas and God's plan for the United States of America? God's role in America is clearly seen in its discoverer then. And in this picture, you can see the first thing they did was to bow and give thanks to the fact that God had safely given them, you know, a way to the new Americas, which had just been discovered. Columbus may have discovered the new world by accident, but I assure you this morning, it was not by accident. God's directing hand was upon the entire journey. From the winds and the sails to the steerman at the wheel of the ship, God was in control of the entire process, beginning to end, in that entire journey. Columbus was not oblivious to God's providence in this discovery. In his journals, Columbus expressed his literal belief that his voyages were ushering in a millennial age and initiating a messianic period of time. Columbus was firmly convicted that Isaiah's prophecy, which we read about in Isaiah 59 and verse 19, where it says, from the west people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, which should be the east, they will revere his glory. He said, when I see this portion of scripture out of Isaiah 59, I'm reminded then that in the west, this unknown west at that time, that God had a big plan for these nations. The journal from his very first voyage shows that the primary purpose of his explorations was to take the message of salvation through Jesus Christ to the people of these unknown lands. I know that he has been demonized and his purposes, his plans, but I want you to know that his very journals declare that the reason for the journey was to take the salvation through Jesus Christ to the people of these unknown lands. You know, throughout our nation's history, we have seen our national leaders turning often to God for guidance, and I thank God for that. George Washington, kneeling in the snow of Valley Forge, he realized how much he needed God and how much America in its infantile stage would need God and God's help, and so he kneels there in the snow, praying, asking for God's direction, blessing, protection, and help. What about our founding fathers on their knees in the First Continental Congress? They realized that in order to have the wisdom that was going to take for a new land and guiding a new and young nation, they would need the help of God. And so the picture depicts the fact they're all on their faces before God. Lincoln, praying in the hour of national crisis, in a land that was torn apart by civil war, a land that was so separated, Lincoln understood that the only way to bring things back together again was with God's help. And so we find him praying in the time of national crisis. And this goes throughout all of history. Woodrow Wilson, you find reading his Bible late at night by the lights of the White House, and he is once again seeking the face of God. And in his hand, he holds God's eternal word. George Washington summarized this national dependence on God when he declared, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of man more than those of the United States." He said, of all the nations that have been blessed, we've been blessed to a point that we must understand that it has been of God and for God that we must continue to guide and direct this wonderful, wonderful land that God was giving to us. Friends, America did not become the land of the free and the home of the brave by some blind fate or by mere coincidence. I assure you that God was hovering over this nation from its very conception. So today, though America has only 5% of the world's population, she possesses more than 30% of the world's wealth. Not only 30% of the world's wealth, but also 50% of all that we would call luxuries in life comes right here from the United States of America. Why has God then blessed this nation above all other nations? Why is it that God, out of all the planet and all the nations on this planet, why has he blessed us in such a way? Why has America, in her short history, outstripped the wealth, the power, and the influence of all ancient and modern civilizations? The question, then, that must be asked this morning is whether or not God has blessed America to this degree without having any kind of a pivotal purpose for our being. What is God's plan, then, for America? What role does America play in end-time prophecy? These are questions that many are asking today as they watch the prophetic events coming together with absolute biblical precision all around them. However, before we can understand America's place in end-time events, I believe that we must answer the question why we as a nation have been so blessed above other lands and other nations. Let's begin this morning by exploring some of the key reasons that I believe that God's gracious favor has been upon the United States of America. First of all, God has blessed America because America has been the key force behind world missions. Right from the beginning, Columbus, as he entered into the Americas, he said, "I believe that God has sent us here for such a time as this, to bring the gospel to the West and to the unknown." To the United States belongs the distinction of providing 3/4 of the missionaries that have gone out into this world over the past century. The same is true of money and material help. God has used America to bring help to a hurting world in many, many cases. This means that 75% of all missionaries have come from a country comprising only 5% of the world's population. Friends, here's the deal. God clearly blesses those who make His priorities their priorities. Never forget it, God loves this world. And the Bible says God loves this world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God loves this world. And God loves the people who are yet to hear the gospel. And when we love whom God loves, God has a wonderful way about blessing us. I believe that principle applies to individuals, to churches, and even to nations of the world. If we will love and invest in what God loves and wants us to invest in, God has a wonderful way about blessing. Oak Creek Assembly of God has been blessed. And we have been blessed because from its very foundation, we have been a missions church. Before entering into the first building project that I was responsible for here at Oak Creek back in 1981, I was in a meeting with the president of the South Milwaukee Marine Bank. And during our meeting, he said, you know, you realize that you're a young congregation and, you know, things are beginning to go in a good direction, but still, your finances are very thin. And he asked me this question. What are you going to do if it's between paying your mortgage or paying the missions pledges that the church has made? I unashamedly looked him in the eye and I said that I would pay our missions commitments first, because if we did, he would never have to worry about being paid when it comes to the mortgage. And over the years, and we have built all these facilities, all these buildings, investing millions of dollars, and in every single case, we have never kept a mortgage longer than 7 years. God has blessed us because we have put first and foremost the kingdom of God. God has blessed America then, because we have been the launching pad for world missionary movement. In the aftermath of World War II, Americans started 1,800 some mission agencies and sent out more than 350,000 missionaries around the world. And as a result of these efforts today, 95% of the world's population has access to at least some portion of the Bible, and most all are able to, in their own language, hear Christian radio being beamed in or broadcasted in, even beyond their borders where the gospel's not been allowed to go, and Christian television as well. Friends, I want you to know, when you love what God loves and embrace what God loves, and embracing that, God has a wonderful way about blessing a nation, an individual, or a church as they put first the kingdom of God. This achievement, then, that we've seen in missions around the world is largely due to the missionary zeal of the churches found right here in the United States of America. God has blessed America mightily, and He has done so because we have taken seriously the responsibility of taking Jesus Christ and the message of Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, to every culture, every place, until the whole world hears that Jesus Christ loves them, cares, died on the cross, and on the third day rose again. And that's good news to a lost and dying world. Amen, church. Secondly, God has blessed America because America has been a friend of the Jewish people. Ever since the turn of the 20th century, Jews have comprised about 3% of the total population of the United States of America, where they have been protected from harassment and anti-Semitism. America has given the Jewish people an opportunity for economic, educational, cultural advancement without the fear of losing their own religious freedoms. America's historic support of Israel is based not so much, dear friends, on the fact that there are Jewish lobbyists in Washington or the presence of Jewish groups in our society. But here is the reason why America has embraced Judaism, the people of Israel, is because of the Judeo-Christian heritage of our nation. It's our foundation. It's in our blood. And this is how we watch over one another. President Truman's determination to recognize Israel as a modern state was fueled by his lifelong belief that in the book of Deuteronomy, God had given the land to Israel and to the Jewish people, and he had done so for all time. God's blessing on America is the direct fulfillment then of Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, where it says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee." And the word curse there means I will withstand. I will be in their way. I will keep them from moving forward. And so I will bless. I will push them forward, those that bless thee. And I will hold back. I will push back those or curse those that curse thee. And through you, all the nations or families on the earth is going to be blessed. So I believe that our blessing, the blessings that we have received heretofore in America, is because of our missions and because of our embracing of the Jewish people and of the state of Israel as well. Now, thirdly, I believe that God has blessed America because we have embraced freedom. You know, there are nations of the world that do not, you know, have the very basis of freedom that we so enjoy here in the United States of America. In both the Old Testaments, we find a principle, and that principle is faith and freedom are inseparably linked together. And so wherever you find faith, you will find freedom. Wherever you find God is honored, you'll find where God is honored, there is freedom. The Bible says that there is freedom in the Spirit of the Lord. And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we have the freedoms we have today because from its very foundation, we've embraced this principle that individuals are created by God. They are equal one with another, regardless of background, creed, or whatever. We are all in the sight of God equal. And because of that, freedom ought to be offered to all, that no one should be left behind. And that has been the way we have founded this nation from its very beginning. America has been a laboratory where these blended principles have been allowed to grow and develop together as an example of what God can do and what faith and what happens when you put faith and freedom together. The Bible says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?" Say it. Make you free. Now, what is truth? That is the question that was asked of Jesus in the old or in the New Testament, and you'll find that Jesus answered that question for all of us when he said, "I am the way, the what, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, friends, you shall know the truth. You shall know Christ, and in knowing him, you shall be free. Thank God for freedom. Thank God that sin shall not have dominion over us. Just think of what it was like prior to coming to Christ and those things that you could not get the victory over. It may have been anger. It could have been a drug addiction. It could have been anything under the sun. Whatever it is, each and every one of us, we all had something we have been facing prior to our, you know, coming to Christ that was holding us back, and we were not able to break through. I am so glad that through Jesus Christ, whomsoever the Son sets free is free what? Indeed. Amen. And so you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the connection then between God and freedom is absolutely inseparable. In nations where they wanted to rob men and women of their freedom, they first had to rob them of their relationship with God and their faith in God. And therefore, as you look about and read your books of history, you'll discover in nations where they have become atheistic, they have lost their freedom, individual freedoms, their corporate freedoms. There's this principle that is undeniable, and that principle is that God and freedom are connected inseparably. America has been both the defender and the fighter of freedom around the world. Some of you men and women in this sanctuary this morning, and those of you that are watching online, you have fought in wars, you have been on bases, you know, military bases, far away from home. Why were you in Germany? Why were you in, you know, Afghanistan? Why were you in all these various places, Vietnam and the likes, around the world over these last years? I'll tell you why. You were there to bring freedom to people that have been subjugated. And you were there to be an exporter of the blessing of God to men and women that were living under the repression and the tyranny of another. Wherever you find God, you find freedom. And one of the wonderful things is wherever you see a nation begin to rise, you know, in their relationship with God, they also begin to rise up and find brand new freedoms. And so, you know, I think of the Statue of Liberty out there in New York's, you know, harbor. As I have stood there, you know, down by the, I think it's Battle Park or whatever they call it, they're right there on the shores. As I've stood there and I've thought of those words, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. I think of all the family members that you have had and all the family members that others have had that have come from places where they have been under, you know, repression and tyranny and they've suffered. And just as the arms reaching out, saying, give me, bring me your tired, bring me your poor, your huddled masses yearning to bring free. I think of, you know, the years of Stalin and his regime of absolute terror, you know, throughout so much of the Ukraine. And it's amazing. A few years ago, I was with one of our missions teams there. It was a medical missions team. And we went to what would be like their national museum. In their national museum, my heart was absolutely broken because it was part of history that I did not really much know. I hadn't realized there was 3.9 million Jews that had been exterminated there in Ukraine. I didn't realize that when Stalin came in, wanting to take that land, all the farms, all the farmland, the best way he knew to do it was to starve to death everyone that was living there. And I say starve to death. And there was anywhere up towards 10 million persons that literally starved to death. They would go to their farm. They'd go to their little homes. And as I was driving through, the first thing that caught my attention is the size of the farms, the communal farms now. I've never seen farms, and I've grown up in South Dakota where there's large farms. You can drive for mile after mile, and it's all under the leadership, the ownership of either one corporate, you know, group or a particular farmer. And I would drive as we were going from Kyiv way down to the south area to do a campaign and a crusade. And I would see these farms, these no buildings, just land, mile after mile after mile. Well, Stalin, what he did is he went and stole the land away from Ukrainian people and took it for himself, and the way he did so was to starve them to death. He actually had teams that went about, and if you had a cow, they'd take your cow. And if you had a chicken out back, they would take your chicken. They would take an empty, any kind of food you might have, and they would make sure that you didn't have anything to even make a meal on. They would bust, break, or destroy anything you would use to cook or keep food. And then in addition to that, they took every pot and pan, every fork, every knife, every plate. They left you with absolutely nothing, nothing to eat, nothing to prepare it on, nothing to place it on if you even had food. Time has went by. They began to take and try to hide some food within the walls of their homes. Where we had put insulation, they were putting grains, trying to have something to be able to feed at least to their children. They would find out about it, come knock their house to the ground. Upwards towards 10 million people. Some of which were religiously persecuted, others physically starved to death. Matter of fact, my wife's family lineage comes out of that very same area. They were driven out. Friend, I want you to know America has been a place, oh, we're not perfect, I understand that. But if you find a better place, I encourage you to go there. Here's the best I know of. God has been so good to America. Amen, church. God has blessed us because we have been defender of those that had no one to defend them. We have given room and place and safe harbor to those that have had everything taken from them. Fourthly, America was founded. The reason why God has blessed America was founded upon God and His Word. You know, the honest student of history cannot deny the fact that our nation has deep spiritual roots based on God and upon His eternal Word. And the simple byproduct has been God's blessing then upon America. Psalm 33 and verse 12, where we started out. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people He has chosen for His own inheritance. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. George Washington set the tone for our nation's governmental authority when he said, "It's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." He realized up front, this nation would never be what God intended it to be. That is a place of freedom. It would be a bastion of safety for those that are being abused around this globe, and a place where they could come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, "God is my witness that it is my constant anxiety and prayer that both myself and this nation should be on the Lord's side." Matter of fact, in another occasion, he said, "It's not so much whether or not I'm on the Lord's side, but I need to make sure that God is on our side." Benjamin Franklin explained why he requested that each day of the Constitutional Convention was opened up in prayer by saying this, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of the truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And without His aid, we shall succeed in political building no better than the builders of Babel." Just as the Tower of Babel came to nothing, he said, "It's without God's help that would be the future of this land." Now, I wish that I had time this morning to fully develop this entire theme. But all you have to do if you want to discover that we as a nation were founded upon God and God's Word is to take a drive around Washington, D.C. And as you begin to make your trip around Washington, D.C., and to those of you that ever get an opportunity to go to the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., they actually have what they call a flyover of Washington, D.C. And it takes you over the major monuments, takes you over the major buildings, and it pauses just long enough as the flyover takes place. It's virtual, but it's life-changing. What you'll see is that all the engravings that were placed on the early buildings and monuments will show you that God is everywhere in our nation's history. Now, friends, let the liberals, let the atheists cry all they want. They cannot rewrite our history. Yet I would say to you this morning that many are insidiously attempting to do so. The question of the moment then is, can we remove the very things that brought God's blessing and then continue to have the blessing of God in our land? So what about America? Where are we at in prophecy? The silence of the Bible on the future of America is one of those rather eerie things. Dr. Tim LaHaye wrote, he said, "One of the hardest things for American prophecy students is to accept that the United States is not clearly mentioned in the Bible prophecy. Yet our nation is the only superpower in the world today." He goes on. "Indeed, no specific mention of the United States or any other country in North or South America can be found in the Bible. And then he says, here's some reasons possibly why. One reason may be that in the grand scheme of history, the United States is the new kid on the block. As a nation, as you well know, we are less than 250 years old. We are much younger than the nations of the Bible that are featured in what we call classical biblical prophecy. In fact, the Bible makes no mention of most nations in the modern world today. The ancient prophets, when you begin to look at them and their time and their season, they were primarily concerned with the Holy Land and its immediate neighbors. Areas remote from Israel did not figure into prophecy and are not mentioned hardly at all in the Bible, with the exception of Gog and Magog, which refers to Russia in the north. Dr. LaHaye, he says, Does the United States have a place in end time prophecy? My first response is no. There is nothing about the U.S. in prophecy, at least nothing that is specific. There is an allusion to a group of nations in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 13 that could apply, but even that is far from being specific. Now the question is, why? Why would the God of prophecy not refer to the supreme superpower nation in end times in preparation for a one world government of the Antichrist? Why would it be silent? Friends, this question really has no one simple answer. However, let me give you four very quick scenarios. Number one, America will be incorporated into the European coalition. The Bible talks about in the last days that there will be a coalition of nations, and we see that coalition of nations coming together, both economically and socially, and to some degree even in the religious realm. America could be incorporated into the European coalition, and therefore that's one reason. Secondly, he says that maybe America will be invaded by outside forces. This land that we so love. You know, as I think back over the last 6 months, on March the 15th, when this church, along with the churches of America and most all other churches across the entire world, were shut down over the COVID to see if whether or not shutting down and everyone keeping away from, you know, large groups at the time, the thought was maybe we could stop it. When you think about how things changed, how quickly they changed, think about your world today versus a world 6 months ago. Your life, my life, our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives are nothing like we could have ever imagined. The things that are happening, the closures that are taking place, and the wrangling that's going on in our nation, I don't think any of us could have ever dreamt it possible. Therefore, I just want you to think of the possibility. I'm not saying prophetically this is to happen or anything of the sort. I'm simply saying, America, could it be that we're invaded by outside forces? I was in South Dakota just a few weeks ago, and on our way back from the Rapid City area, Black Hills area, we stopped at a missile site. And the missile site that we stopped at was one of the Minuteman sites. There were 150 different sites like that in this region of South Dakota. These missiles, from the time of launch to the time of hitting any target anywhere in all of Russia, was less than 30 minutes. It was an awesome thing as I stood there. And they've been decommissioned now. And I stood there and I looked down into this silo on the ground, seeing a missile towering 60 feet tall. With a warhead, which has been decommissioned now as well, a warhead that could destroy everything for hundreds of miles. 150 of them buried beneath the ground in western South Dakota. America, it's only the grace of God. The Bible says some trust in chariots, some in horses, meaning that they trust, today we would say, they trust in aircraft, they trust in, you know, new tanks, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Thirdly, he questions, are we missing from biblical prophecy because America will be infected with moral decay? You know, moral decay destroys from the inside. You know, it's one thing to be in an automobile accident and see your body all beaten up from the outside. But for every person that has exterior damage to their body, the interior is even more dangerous. And most sicknesses, most diseases, most people in the hospital are not there because they were in an accident. Most are there, it's because something internally within their body. America will be infected possibly by moral decay. Is that why we're not listed? Or maybe, looking on the brightest of all sides, America will be impotent, will be weakened to the point that it's not necessary to even mention us in the last of the last days, because the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ has taken place. And every single believer from, you know, the White House to the State House, you know, to your job where you work, to your neighborhood, to all of the essential areas of life, every single believer gone, they tell us that there's approximately 90 million believers in Jesus Christ in the United States of America. And friends, if we have 90 million, I say if there are truly 90 million, it is time for that 90 million to stand up, straighten up, and look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. As a nation, we must continue to embrace the things, and I don't want this to sound political, it's not, and the phrase is not. As a nation, we must embrace the things of God, the very things that once made us great, that made us stand out from all the other nations that have ever been on this planet, current, past, or present, or future. We must embrace what made us great, and that is God. And we must embrace missions. We must never keep missions on the back burner. It must always be on the front, that we are blessed of God. There's a reason why God has protected us, watched over us, even in the midst of all the sin and corruption and all that we've allowed in our land. It's because we are still sending missionaries. We're still supporting the hungry. We're still working the works of God in the world. And I believe that that too brings a level of protection. We must not back down on our commitment to Israel and the Jewish people. Yet I stand before you this morning with great sadness, I must say, that anti-Semitism is growing at exponential numbers throughout New York, throughout various places of high concentrations of Jewish people. Remember, we bless those that God has chosen, even if we don't understand, even if we don't necessarily always agree with them. God said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. I want to be blessed, and I want our nation blessed. We must embrace freedom, and freedom is not for a few. The freedom is for all. I believe it, and I believe it in my heart when we say, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, leaving no one out. And we must remember a good trip throughout Washington, D.C. You'll look and you'll see God was here and God was there, and they were remembering God's goodness in this place and in that place. We have been blessed. And the reason why we're blessed, because of God and His Word. I stand before you today and I want you to stand tall for God. Don't back down. Don't let anyone rob us of this book. This book was given to us by God. And it's His book that brings blessing when we live by it. It's what causes your home to be a little bit heaven on earth rather than hell on earth like the next door neighbor. This book is what keeps business from becoming completely and solely just for the bottom line, for the bottom dollar. This book has something to say about everything that's important about keeping our culture and keeping the blessing of God on our lands. Friends, here's what I believe. I want you to look at your hand for a moment, please. Just look at your hand for a moment. And I want you to do is I want you to picture there's a pen now in that hand. There's a pen in your hand and there's a pen in mine. And I believe the pen of history is in our hands this morning. And I believe that we're writing the final chapter of our national story. I believe that that is the very reason why there's this silence about either geographically or using some ancient name that could relate to the Western Hemisphere as we know it today. Because I believe God is saying, what do you want it to look like? You write the prophecy. And as I begin to look at that, I said, God, I want you to be the heart of this land. I want you to be our protector, not the B-1B bomber. I want you to be the very source of how we operate one with another. America's at a crossroads. There's no doubt about it. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Lord means just exactly that, that we are under His leadership willingly. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. I believe just as God chose the Jewish people to be the conduit by which He'd bring the gospel to us and the person of Jesus Christ miraculously, I believe that God's got a big plan for America today. The pen is in your hand. The pen is in my hand. What do you want the last chapter to look like? It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. From their wicked ways. I think of the scripture that says, search my heart, O God. See if there's any wicked ways in me. He says, we'll turn from those wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Friend, if there was ever a time that America needs to unite is right now. If there's ever a time whereby we should lock arms with brothers and sisters in Christ and say, we are not going to give up our nation. No one's going to come and rob it away from us. Nor will we allow the moral decay from within to eat us up like a cancer from the outside. saying, God, we need you in America. We need you in America. God, we need you in our homes. God, we need you in our lives. God, we need you. I want you to stand with me all over this room. I want you simply to hold steady for a moment as we just cry out to God. God, God, we need you. This land has been so blessed. You have been so good to us. You have catapulted this young nation in 244 years beyond anything that we're aware of in the whole history of planet Earth. You've allowed us to live here for such a time as this. You're an Esther for this moment. To your family, to your job, to your block on which you live, to your business associates, we must not be silent. Believers must stop feuding over unnecessary things and start uniting together and saying, God, 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 we need you. And we long for you, oh God. We long for you in our lives, in our homes, in our sons' lives, in their homes, and daughters in their homes, in our grandchildren. The future of everything we've ever known is all on the line in this moment. And God, we believe you're the only answer. Elections, as important as they are, we must pray about these things. But God, no man will ever straighten this out. You may use men to do so, but we need you, oh God. And we call out to you. We call out to you, Lord, for the sins of America. Lord, we have put our fist in your face. The things you declared to be wrong, we've said, it's okay, it's right. Just as Isaiah said, woe unto them that call good bad and bad good. God, we repent. We repent, oh God, not only for the sins of a nation, our sin. Father, I pray that you'd raise up, oh God, for this final hour, every single person that calls America home. May they become more serious than ever before about this hour. Father, I pray your anointing upon this congregation, upon every individual. God, I pray that the way we live our lives would be so noticed by the world round about that they would be wondering, what is it that makes you tick? What is it that makes you live the way you live? Embrace the things that you embrace. Why, when the world is filled with anxiety, do you have peace? Father, I pray, oh God, that we would be men and women embracing you like never before. Call out to him. Call out to him, church. Call out to him. Cry out to him. Let the sound of the cry for revival. God, revive us again. Revive America again. Take us back, oh God, to our roots. Lord, there are those that want to tear down and pull away everything that has a remembrance of God, the scriptures, or the word of God, the Bible, in any part of our culture, society. God, I pray that you would raise up a mighty group of men and women of God across America that will say, not now, not here, not ever. This is my watch. This is my land. This is where I live. This is where my children have to grow up, my grandchildren. And I want to see to it that they have the wonderful blessing of God that we've enjoyed up to this time. But Lord, we also know that if we stop doing what made America great, because it was the blessing of God, if we stop, then we know the blessing will stop. And we know that things can change in 6 months we could never recognize. what America once was or what it would look like. We call out to you, O God. We call out to you, O God. We worship you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We worship and we adore you. We bless you, O God. We bless you.